Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, returning guest, and probably our most prolific guest, Samuel Hoffman.
Okay, so why don't we, it's been a while, why don't we reiterate to our audience? You know, our YouTube audience is fanatical about you. But, you know, our terrestrial audience, maybe not so much. So why don't we reiterate to them what we're discussing today? We're talking about how our solar system is a binary solar system with two stars, and most people don't know that.
Correct, and two sets of planets, and you could look at them, and don't forget, you know, the asteroid groups and the moons and everything, the negative charged bodies as well. Yeah, we are a 83.3% of all solar systems have two or more stars, two, three, four, etc. And we also live in a binary solar system. This is what my paper was on 1978, why I was sequestered into not talking about it for 30 years from 1980 on. And then so once 2010 hit, I started talking again. And then, of course, I had a close past sighting where I saw the planets out in, you know, in my yard, and I went, oh, my God, they're here. So that's, of course, when I decided to start Montana Skywatcher, because we could never get pictures of daily reports. Everything we saw was 2, 3, 4 weeks old. It was all hard to get together and match this up and, you know, what part of the planet it was on and get all this together. So we, you know, formed Montana Skywatchers 1, and that started out as a private group, and I had some tight scientists and some big people in there for a while, and, you know, and then they started running into trouble with it and getting their lives got disrupted, and of course, so they backed off. They're still around, but they just don't communicate as much. Anyway, back to the two solar system. We have a binary solar system. We always have. We always will. It's a very stable two sun system with two planetary groups. Now the Nibiru system is tightly held together, and they are traveling through the center of our solar system. And our solar system is smaller than the larger other solar system, and we are spread out and spiral in a larger spiral elliptical around the other group, and then we transition sides around Imaru, which is a very vast gas giant that holds the two stars together and the two solar systems.
So when we say that the other one is larger, are we saying that it's larger in mass or that it's larger in
right, it's a standard red, and our sol is a dwarf yellow, and it's much, much smaller. Now, if you look at a lot of the pictures that we share on a regular basis, you can see the central, smaller, our sun, is in front, and there the second larger one is behind it, and they currently are co-orbiting in the center of the system. Now, exactly how that works, I do not know, because at one period of time started coming up from below, and we were getting shots of it way out in deep space in 2008 and 2009. But you had to have special cameras in order to see it. And the human eye couldn't even see it, but if you held your little tiny cam picture thing, they came out with them in about 2005, and then they took a whole bunch of them away, and I think that's partially why. But if you held your camcorder up and showed it in deep space, you could see the big, huge red blob for years before it even got here. And we kept watching it, and was wondering what the heck is that. You can't see it with the human eye, but you put the camera up, and there it is. And this, of course, goes along with the birds chirping in the middle of the night in 2010, 2011. They are seeing something that our human eye could not see. So there's a lot to that part of the thing. There's stuff going on right in front of our faces that we cannot see.
So when you say that the sun is behind our sun, does that mean that they're in some form of tidal lock?
Right, they're in a co-orbiting capacitor-like, you know, attraction discharge scenario where they're, you know, when the second sun got here and became proximity placement with our star, there was the backflow CMEs of 2011, 2012, and then the solar activity of our star sol went kind of blank, and everybody who was, you know, major sun scientists and who followed the 11-year cycle and ebb and flow of that was all suddenly shocked because the behavior of the star was not normal, and all of a sudden we didn't have any CME activity in the coronal holes were all literally vanished, and there was very little activity on our star after 2012 for the longest time. And then you wonder what the, oh, our star's dying, or our magnetosphere is about to quit, or all of this stuff. And that's not what's really going on. Our stars are quite stable. What's going on is the larger star behind our star was pulling back most of the material into it. And I believe there's been a, you know, that going on for multiple years. Now, we recently have seen that the solar outputs have suddenly changed. And, of course, they're trying to drastically scramble for new diagrams to tell them what cycle we're in and all of this. But, you know, and the back blows that are occurring are now side blows. So I believe that the separation is somewhere soon. And we've got other people on the group followers anonymous. I've been watching this pretty heavily. But, you know, it's really hard to attribute the second sun separating from our star, especially since currently right now we have more asteroids. So the big asteroid groups are crossing the sun and everybody sees these illuminated objects and go, oh, look, it's the second sun, you know. And so it's, you know, we have to have a series of proof before we can actually, you know, say that this is actually occurring. Separation should be sometime soon. So solar activity and behavior of the CMEs and these waves of stuff that has been affecting everybody's computers and televisions and phones and you name it for the longest time, including our moods and our behavior and how we feel. All of that, we are being affected by this activity on the star. And then, of course, there's always been the rumors from the far-seeing groups and stuff about the shot across the bow. And so that's expected. There's something, activity about to happen.
In doing that, you write the paper and you speculate that this is the case.
Right, right. And I gave three examples of what we could be on this paper. And they all listed within the soft metal groups on the periodic chart having to do with two atoms, et cetera.
Right, but with you speculating, what did that moment, what was the moment that you realized that it wasn't speculation any longer, that you said, oh, this is it? Or did you feel that when you made the speculation?
I didn't really ever hit that until literally a few years ago, because I've been, you know, grinding on it in my head, and you know, the government did their thing to down me publicly and right in front of my face and, you know, suppress me and tell me how crazy and how arrogant I was for thinking that I was right. And yet at the same time, here they had out of the blue taken notice on me, yanked me, you know, across the country. And if I was wrong and stupid and crazy, why did they even bother with me in the first place? I mean, that wouldn't have occurred. And so for years I sat there and I was going like, am I out of my mind or what? I mean, and I kind of blew it off and thought, well, nah. And then, of course, then I got attention from other sources, including the Pleiadian abduction scenario, where they started filling me in on some of the things I would yet do and be doing now as I'm doing currently by communicating to everybody and telling them about this. And I was told that I could only be the only one that was going to be able to do this, blah, 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 all the other extra details. But I don't think I ever really realized that I was absolutely right until we started watching all of these planets come in one by one, and they matched the colors of what I was told. And that was around 2013, 2014.
Now,
and I went, holy.
Under this initial situation, you were under an NDA, non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
Why do you think they let that lapse? I mean, I understand paperwork, but when I think of the government, I don't think of them as going, well, them's the rules. We got to let them off now. You know, it's like.
Well, they, you know, they told, and I asked, I said, well, why not a 50-year non-disclosure agreement? That way, by the time I'll be dead by then, or late 60s or 68 and or whatever at the time. If they had gone 50 years, I would have been 68 years old before it was over. But anyway, I asked about that, and I said, why only 30 years? And they, of course, told me that after that it wouldn't matter, and we had this conversation on a previous show. And I, you know, they weren't even going to let me go, and they kept wanting me to go to these other jobs all over the place, and I was just not doing well with them, and that's why I finally ended up being brought back to Montana in handcuffs after volunteering to have a good portion of my memory erased.
How does that work?
Well, worked apparently pretty darn good with exceptions. There are certain little things that I stuck little anagrams in my head on purpose to remind me, and they kind of worked. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of stuff that I haven't yet to remember.
No, I mean, how does one erase memory?
while you go into the brain, into the memory storing areas, and you reverse the polarity on the magnetic charts that laid them in, I guess. I guess it's some sort of alien technology. You know, they know far more about the brain than we do. And obviously there's a certain amount of sharing of, look at Men in Black, those little flashers. And you don't form memories. It's sort of like that medication that they give you when you go into surgery. They'll give you this combination of stuff that you experience it, but you don't lay down the memory of during. You immediately forget after the process.
Yeah, I've had that. I wonder if, like, somewhere deep in my psyche, because I had it for a endoscope, they shoved the tube down your throat, and I wonder if, like, somewhere deep in my psyche I had, like, this horrifying experience that I've repressed.
Yeah, right. Right, and see, this is what happens to me during surgery, too, and this is what happened to me during the Pleiadian abduction event, was I sit up on the table after they fully put me out. They cannot keep me asleep. And this is why, the Pleiadian freaked out, and they took me aside, and they had me in a little doorway, and looking outside at the forest while I'm sitting inside their little ship, being handcuffed in these really cool handcuffs that go from up underneath your legs and then around your wrists, and you're in this seated four-way handcuff, leg cuff thing. And I sat there, and they took me aside and told me all kinds of stuff. So, and this was not just a short conversation either. And they were very surprised that they couldn't keep me out.
Fall specials going on now at High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, also in Roseville and Petaluma. High Noble Safe Company has fireproof and waterproof safes. Protect your guns, cash and valuables, heirlooms and collectibles, and important documents. With delivery, moving and repair service available in Redding, Roseville and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050 or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, KCNR1460.com, and AM 1460 has teamed up with Golden Valley Bank for Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans for their service, and a portion of the proceeds goes to help out local homeless veterans. Golden Valley Bank at 250 Hempstead Drive, Suite 100, creates a truly unique local banking experience. Talk to our relationship banker today at 222-4000. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you're reporting in the skies now. What
well,
are
I
we
sent
seeing
you six, I sent you five. I sent you five pictures on the PM.
Yeah.
Of course, our viewers or our listeners can't unfortunately see them at this time. But the top picture is on the left hand side is Saturn and a Saturn's yellow moon, which is in front of Nibiru. I mean, it's quite distant away from each other, but it's they're passing Earth close by now during the day, and literally by evening, if you look to the north northwest. Everything on the right-hand side of the sun in the early evening is planet, and it is Saturn, is Saturn's yellow moon, and a massive sky-filling Nibiru, as far as the eye can see, all the way literally to the north-northeast. Just huge sky-filler. And these onsets, of course, and Uri is on the left all day long, and now Attu and Attu's white moon are very close to overpassing Earth, and we've got numerous pictures this week, and they're all really, really good and clear, rounded shots where you can see the round bottoms of the planets, and they're huge. And the Perseid, of course, is now doing a side planetary thing again where it's dumping all sorts of mass rain and rain bombs, and you can see that big triple-layered open green core that passes all these places and kicks up these horrible storms, which is why there's major flooding all over our planet as well. And we've got a circulating picture where we say, you know, that feeling you get when Nepesity passes you by, and of course it's Jeff Goldblum in a semi-open shirt, that drawing of Jeff Goldblum going around everywhere. So we've got one of him sitting in front of Nepesity. I didn't do it, but somebody did, but we use it a lot, so... And thank you if you're the maker, because it's perfect. Anyway, the planets are going over the top of us, and at any given time, you should be able to step straight outside and look. If you look straight up and see dark, 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 weird, dark blue skies, and then you look at the horizon and you're looking at a light blue, well, the light blue is the real sky. And these dark shaded things, and now remember there's atmospheres around these, but even when they're close over and they don't have a huge atmosphere, you're seeing this dark, dark, dark purple blue planet. Now, most of them will change toward a more blue the closer they get to Earth, because we're staring through our blue shaded watery atmosphere, and that of course affects a lot of what we see. But Saturn has been affecting the sunsets for the last month or so really heavy, and they had red fog the other day in I think the UK, or it's somewhere in Europe. But and that has to do also with the light angle of the sun refracting off the side edges of the planets. Now, a few years ago, when Attu, the purple planet, was prominent in that angle, and yet it crossed from one side to the other over a number of years. But when it was prominent in the angles and the sun would refract off it, that's when we had all those really cool purple sunsets and really cool purple illuminations at night that everybody was attributing to grow houses and stuff, and yet it lit up in the entire night sky. And so they were always, you know, doing the disinfo and everything else, you know, trying to write everything off and give you this little tidbit that says, oh, okay, I accept that, and then you move on. Because they're fighting left and right and up and down trying to hide all of this stuff, and of course they've not done a great job, because we've been watching the planets come in and go by for 12 years now. And it's quite active. I mean, hugely active. And anyone who knows what they're looking at, you cannot miss these planets. And you got to spend a little time out there watching, and you got to understand what you're looking for. But once you, I mean, these things are so huge, I don't know how we are missing them. Anyway, your turn.
Well, you know, you're talking about its effect on weather and stuff like that. I'm just curious, you know, how open of a secret is this? I mean, is this... Shouldn't meteorologists maybe be aware?
If the one or two of them who have actually spent the time, and I run into this with a lot of people, with a lot of new folks, they go, I was wondering what was wrong with the skies, but I couldn't put a pin to it. And now all meteorologists in the United States are employees of the FCC, and they were told in the mid-90s that if they started doing silly stuff, they would lose their licenses, et cetera. And you may have noticed that we no longer see radar on television. They show us these computer-generated colored graphic models. They don't even show real radar footage anymore. And that's because some of this radar footage actually shows stuff and asteroids that will come into our atmosphere as well and cause these cross-trail effects. They don't want people to see this at all. And they are that close where they literally skip or drive into the lower or the upper parts of our atmosphere and their lower atmosphere. And now remember, the planets do not collide. They electrically repel each other because I believe they have an opposite polarity. And that's why we don't steal any of the other planets as well. And, you know, theirs is theirs and ours is ours. And we come in close. Now, there's been an excruciating number of magnetosphere photos, graphic models that we use regularly to see the Earth's magnetosphere and a behavior, which has also got other people freaked out going, oh, look, our magnetosphere is dying. No, well, that's not what's going on. Our magnetosphere is being buffered and enveloped by the larger planets when they come in for a close pass. I mean, we literally get shoved to the side. Again, you know, we're talking about being seasick. And I think that Earth is wobbling so bad right now that that's probably why I'm seasick. I don't know, but I've had these bouts here a couple of times last month or so where all of a sudden I feel like I'm on a dang boat. And I'm just wondering why. But then I have very good hearing and very good sense of smell and blah, blah, blah. So, but we're drastically being affected by these planets. We're being shoved to the side. A month ago, the right before the moon was way up in the north sky, and then 2 days later, it was way to the south. When Earth moves, not the moon. We are, you know, our view of the moon has never throughout history ever changed, and now all of a sudden, our light angles are wrong, and where the moon is versus, you know, way up in the north one day and way down in the south 2 days later, that doesn't happen. So,
you know, a question that comes to mind, and it might not, you know, fit something that you know, I don't know.
But with the planets repelling each other in this electrical instead of gravitational pull, that really weighs on me with how are planets formed then? Or is this sort of a macro and micro level of not dissimilar from quantum mechanics versus...
When our solar system first formed, and they say this is roughly about 6 billion years ago or 8 somewhere, I mean, science varies because not everybody agrees. We had the quote-unquote Big Bang and all the dust and the particles and everything. And formation comes to do a lot with the star. You've got to have something that holds this metal in place and this electrical attraction, static cling, whatever. You know, like you pull one sock out of the dryer, you get three. And there is, when you have an asteroid that has a positive charge, it stays in an occupied space. And then you have all the stellar material that flies by it on a regular basis from, you know, CME bursts and astral this and everything. So these things it's what's known as stellar rounding. And this is what I tell a lot of people. If an asteroid is negatively charged, it's going to be multi-shaped and, you know, glass-like and other things, you know, conglomerate clusters, maybe two or three stuck together. But when you put a core to that and it becomes a stable, place-held proton, for better lack of calling anything else, for proton or electron, then it stays in place and then the stellar material over millennium goes by and this thing gets round. Because all the stuff in it spins and spins and spins, which adds to the core, which adds to the charge, which adds to the molten core, which makes it start gathering more material of light material, positively charged, etc. And then that's how planets get bigger and round. And that's how they shoot down the flat Earth people.
Right.
Anyway.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve a growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
Well, speaking of the flat earth people, this is a good segue. Because, you know, this world seems to be more and more invested in what is loosely referred to as conspiracy theory.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I know.
Do you find that it's getting more aggressive and difficult out there with trying to share this stuff?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had an event with Facebook today that I'm still yet to understand the full ramifications of. We don't get to choose who we add as members now. They just get to join. So that's going to create a whole lot of trolls and a whole lot of spiritual nutballs and a whole bunch of flat earthers or God only knows what's going to show up. So we're going to have to, you know, we now have to play tag ball. But yeah, it's gotten worse because there are so many people that are drastically lost and they have a tendency to choose the things that don't scare them the most. And they'll say, oh, okay, well, then we got to be, you know, we're on a flat earth and then we're in a matrix and there's some giant alien that's taking care of us. And see, that settles their mind as to say that they're not going to die next week. And so they choose, and I can't say for them because I'm so, you know, doggone science crazy. And I mean, I'm so obsessed that I have to understand it in a tactful way, in a something tactile that I can actually hold on to in my own head. But I don't understand the level of lack of education. I don't understand how the lack of concern, and I hear this all the time, everybody says, well, what can we do about it? So they immediately shut down, and then they stop thinking about it, and I don't know how people do that. So I'm not really able to fully answer that, but yes, it's gotten worse, especially with a certain person who showed other people publicly of the thing called alternative facts. And I just, you know, and if, and I am willing to argue with modern science, but yet I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater as well and leap off the cliff and say everything's real, including faces and all, you know, fallen angels. And I'm not going there with any of that stuff. You know, let's stick to what we know and why we know it, and we'll cut some of this misinformation. You know, I mean, for everybody said, oh, the winged Nibiru planet. And I dealt with that one for 10 years. And I'm still getting people that still believe that Nibiru is red. And I still get people that say, oh, look at that little dot on the thing. That's Nibiru. No, Nibiru is not a dot. Nibiru is massive. And it's a sky filler. And it's filling up the entire half of our view every day. And Yuri's on the other side with Attu and Attu's moon, et cetera. So, and you know, repeatedly we said they got to get on board with this, but if they don't start studying into the real science, I don't know what the heck they're doing in the first place, why they're even quoting conspiracy science, because it's useless, and they should go back to watching Dancing with the Stars or something. I don't know.
It's like a living
guy. I can't go on that one. Other than I don't understand them. I don't understand how we've been watching this for 12 years and nobody sees it. And it's plain as day.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, like, informing a sheep that it's a sheep, how does that really help it? So I'm definitely curious, you know, you're saying people need to get on board. What is getting on board? What's the end goal of getting on board? Just everybody being smarter and knowing more? Or is there an end goal to getting on board?
Well, let's hope that not everybody buys what they're handing out in free sandwiches. Let's once in a while be a little discerning and ask if there's Swiss cheese or American on this sandwich before we take a bite out of it. Let's see if we can maybe further reality, because there's a lot of money going to a lot of places, to a lot of countries, to a lot of stuff over something that doesn't really exist. And in a lot of cases, they're like writing their own paychecks to abuse the system. And we have to be a little more discerning, I think. I think hopefully that the realization that there are other races, so immediately, you know, let's talk about the Texas Cube and the Long Box Cube, which is invisible as heck. I mean, they're right here right now. And people should stop, you know, pointing the fingers and saying, well, Republicans and Democrats, and start realizing that, you know, and I'm not going to say there's an enemy above us, but there's an enemy above us. And not that we can beat them, but we have to somehow rethink our entire position on how we're going to go forward in the next cycle, because we've just entered the sixth age. So here we go. I would like to see a kinder treatment of the planet. I would kind of like to watch greed go somewhere else, and people start wondering why they're spending all their money on this, that, and the other thing, when there are other important, more important things like people and our environment, and, you know, cleaning all the garbage out of the oceans, and maybe burying that damn Fukushima underneath a few feet of concrete, for one. You know, if they're going to worry about something, let's start flying some concrete over the top of Fukushima, because we're all getting sick from it right now. I know I have thyroid cancer from Fukushima. Cesium-213. And, you know, and that's not even being written down in the CDC, because they don't want people to know. No, so I have a question. Why are they doing that? You know, I mean, are we so completely out of control that they're just doing damage control by not mentioning it? And yet they're talking about building mini little reactors. Whoa. Hey, you know, so let's grow a little bit out of this and realize there's a lot more going on than we know. And there's people right there.
Right, right. Now, you just said that we are just entered a new stage. What are the stages?
Well, there's the metaphysical versions, of course. But if you look at the Mayan calendar, they have there's a central face with a skull in it. And then there's the four squares around it. And those are the previous harbingers of doom at the end of each of the cycles. This new age... is supposed to be one where we become more enlightened and hopefully start learning a few better things. And, like, you know, let's get away from some of the crazy stuff in electronics and start, you know, going to natural sciences and health. And, I mean, who knows? I would love to know all of that information. But I know what the metaphysical rumors are and all the, you know, and the butterflies and unicorns and people being saved and going to another planet. But I've never been able to see any of these as possible. I know that we're in for a lot more trouble for a longer period of time before this all stabilizes again, because what we're seeing is a destructive force that has yet to be completed.
Trouble from us or trouble from them?
Well, planet Earth, for one, is going to go through. It's got to go through a reboot every time the Nibiru crossing occurs. The tectonic plates and things all start moving and shifting, and that way it reboots new gold, and it reboots new silver and copper and aluminum and oil and gas and all the commodities that they collect for next time when they come back next. Because if we deplete our Earth, which is part of the natural process, why the passing of Nibiru affects Earth the way it does is planned.
So I don't know.
Yeah. It's really hard to speculate beyond, you know, the knowledge of the destructive force. And, you know, and I base this information off of, you know, 1750 BC through 1600 BC, which is the last passing of the planetary group. And if you look at the ice core records, we went through massive heat raises. Everything literally fried. There was civilizations vanished all over, the Mycenaeans, the Minoans, and all of this during this same period of time. And, you know, massive volcanic activity and ice age activity and of course, global warming activity, which is all showing up in all of them, you know. And they don't talk about it because they don't really have a basis to stick their neck out as scientists and say, well, this happened. And because if they don't agree with everybody else, they get ostracized. You know, this empirical science has a tendency to be a little cutthroat. And if you venture too far one way or another, you're cut off from the system and you can't publish or get paid or work at a college or anything else like this. And we owe that all to a little bit to prejudice of science. But we haven't really seen any new science in over 200 years.
So is that what our future has in store because of this, is basically ice age and tectonic moving and just mass destruction?
We're going to see some excruciating changes. I think we're going to get hotter and hotter for a little while. And then, you know, I mean, look at all the Cappadocia underground cities, and that all boils down to that same time period, you know, give or take the 100 years or so. And they, of course, could be inaccurate in their calling of when, you know, this took place. And so it's all real close in time. And so I'm massively inclined to believe that we're in yet for some more trouble. And I think, you know, I was told that the like-minded people are going to get together and form little groups, and we're going to basically end up in a feudalistic system if we go, you know, off-grid back to the Stone Age, et cetera, if we have a Carrington event, or if we have a breakdown, or if we have a massive event or an asteroid or whatever. And I have a funny feeling where you get multiple of those. I don't think it's going to be just one or another. I think it's going to be a whole series of things going on. And I keep waiting. I didn't believe we'd going to get past 2013 when they were first here. I thought we were going to see massive issues. And I believed in the colliding bodies up to a point at that. And then we witnessed evidence where they didn't. And then they did cycle after cycle, and we're like on our fourth or fifth cycle now. And we've seen these events where terrible stuff, does happen, but far less than one would assume in certain cases. So it's hard to speculate, but I don't even have to look outside anymore. I just know there's a lot of really nasty going on our planet right now. And look at China. They're buried in snow right now. And the fires in Russia are still going on, and they're flooding in Russia. And Russia's having a terrible time, too, but they're just not talking about it.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community, and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Make this New Year's Eve a night to remember at the Reading Garden of Lights. Featuring two stages of live music, food trucks, and bars throughout the gardens provided by Mosaic, all surrounded by a magnificent holiday light show. Tickets available at turtlebay.org.
This holiday season, begin a whole new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Reading Garden of Lights. Taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's Locano Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge in Reading, California. Explore 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Reading Garden of Lights, November 19th through December 31st, presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Now, fortunately, we live in a world of fear, and fear is a great motivator to...
Right, and the question is, do we fall into the fear factor and let them win? Or do we rise above this, pull up our big boy pants, and do the right thing, and be a little less luxurious and a little less opulent, settle for a little less, and live a smaller, happier, slower life?
Oh, I hope so.
It's important, you know, I mean, we need to find ourselves again, because we're lost. And our behavior shows it. I mean, we're fighting each other, we're screaming at each other in the streets. pointing fingers over small political matters that we used to actually commonly discuss across the dinner table. And they don't do that now. Now they start throwing things.
Oh, yeah.
Or shoot each other with AR-15s and stupid stuff like that. And it's just, we need to step back a little bit and take it a little slower. And, you know, an event might teach us the hard way.
Yeah, unfortunately, slower is not something that the world seems to be moving towards.
Can you imagine, you know, walking up to your electrical panel and shutting everything off for 2 days, including your water, and trying to, you know, and I tell people, do that. Have a family gathering. I bet you can't get through one day.
Oh, I got snowed into a cabin.
Yeah, we talked about that on another
greatest
show.
Greatest trip of my life.
Yeah, and, you know, those are the ones we remember. My greatest camping trips that I've been on hundreds with my family all the way up to, you know, Montana backpacking. And, you know, the stove on the side of the glacier and, you know, trying to get some hot soup going because you're freezing your butt off. Those are the ones I remember. Those nice sunny days that I went camping where everything was peachy and I don't even remember them anymore. But the ones I froze my butt off and I got rained out really bad, I remember every one of those. And so we need a little discomfort and we need a little hardship and we need to realize how hard it is to bake that loaf of bread out of something that you grew in your yard. You know, we've forgotten the process. We forgot how long it takes to make all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I sort of invented, before there was a paleo diet, I invented the caveman diet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that you just have to do everything that a caveman does to eat, and you cannot eat anything that took technology.
And you have to get 5 hours to have enough hot water and everything for everything. That, you know, you start cooking at noon to cook for dinner.
Yeah, and if you want an apple, you know, you got to climb a tree. That's the way it is.
Right. We've got to start viewing, and you know, and then people work together, and this is why I study so much of Rome, because they were right on the cutting edge of when technology started growing into human behavior, and how they built their, you know, their construction, and you know, we can talk about